With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. England beat Kosovo 4-0. The Welsh are in position. And Pete Dolson's back from Finland. Hello.
Guten Morgen, guten Abend.
Hello, everyone.
Guten Nacht.
Oh. Oh, Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Jimmy Campbell.
Hello.
And Pete Donaldson.
Depends on when you're listening, it. Could be the morning, could be the afternoon.
Well, that's why I gave him the option, Peter.
Could be mid-dimension on an interdimensional trip.
I said Morgen, Abend, Nacht.
Mm. Tell you what, Prince Andrew's on an interdimensional trip.
That's an early mention.
Early mention.
Careful now.
Unavoidable.
Careful.
Where's that come from?
Sorry,
Luke
guys.
Moore.
Sorry, guys. Sometimes get into stories.
You sat in a room with a man who's also had his armpits lasered, so he doesn't have to sweat.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Pete can't sweat and has recently been in the Pizza Express in Woking.
Yeah. Did that, Pete, did having no sweat glands help you in Finland recently?
No, I don't know whether it would have helped or hindered.
Finland in November?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, even I wouldn't sweat
Well,
there.
To be honest, everyone was whinging, and these are people from places like Aberdeen and Hartlepool. They're the people I went out there to Finland with, and they
Sticking
were all
the boot in straight
really,
away.
It was really, really cold. And it was like, I think I'd come from Milwaukee, so I'd really sort of, I hadn't really noticed how cold it was. But
you can still mind that.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that bad, to be honest.
Well, I think we all appreciate you popping and doing a podcast in the middle of your international tour of tragedy.
You can they can still be a bit. Oh, it's
don't
a bit
move
chilly.
The show. You recorded it late, so I already had a trip booked. So,
Pete, are you annoyed that you've spent money having your sweat glands lasered when you now know you could just work up so much adrenaline that they would naturally block themselves?
Well,
up?
This show is very much a horrible situation that I have to recover from hours afterwards.
Yeah,
but you get a lot of adrenaline.
What?
You get a lot of adrenaline.
I do, yeah.
It.
I get barbs thrown at me left, right, and centre. But yes, Finland was lovely.
You
Helsinki
must have had a lot
lovely.
Of, you must have had a lot of adrenaline being in Finland for the first time they qualified for a major tournament. Set the scene for us, Peter. What was it like? Was it,
there were
was
a lot
it like
of
some
people,
sort of liberated city
there were
in
a lot
the
of,
Second World War?
No. You weirdo.
No, wait, hang on. But people described, in fact, one of our own described Moscow like that, didn't they, when they beat Spain in the World
right,
Cup?
Okay.
It was this incredible season.
It's the first tournament in their history.
It was exactly. It was a really, really fun night out. I mean, there were a lot of people putting shirts on statues, but mm-hmm. they were like statues that didn't really accommodate a football shirt because they had like an L button at an odd position. So mm-hmm. it just looked like something had burst on them. So,
oh, I see. Yeah,
but it was a lot of fun. Everyone.
Lars Siverson, also of this parish, well, he's on OTC this week. We'll get him to talk a bit about what it means to the Finns. But they're a big hockey nation, aren't they? And but for them to qualify for their first tournament is an incredible thing.
Yeah. Oh, people are going wild.
Because they've got players in their squad who haven't even got clubs.
Yeah.
There's a player in the squad, I think, at the moment who's unattached. He's a free agent. They've got players playing in lower leagues, players playing at MLS.
Chuck him out as a ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That about playing ice hockey.
Is he the older brother of one of the other players? In which case, it's unacceptable.
Bring Yari Litmanen back.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Yari Litmanen. All right, then. Well, that's all we're getting from Petey.
It was good. It was a great night. It reminded me of when England got through the quarters last tournament, so the whole town was abuzz.
It was wonderful.
But it was freezing, so not that many people were outside.
Okay. You all huddled together, though, in a bar. Well, England beat Kosovo, of course. Let's get back to all that kind of chat. They finished the group. Group A, of course, with 21 points, 7 wins from 8 matches, 37 goals, 6 against. Mm. It reads quite well, doesn't it?
But, it does.
It was a nice warm reception England got in Kosovo.
Yeah, it makes a change. From this group stage, doesn't it?
They got their PR right, did the Kosovans.
They certainly did. It makes a change from every other place England go to, I think. But it was an interesting performance, I think, purely because I think it seemed to me, and you guys may disagree on this, but it seemed to me that for the first half an hour or so, England were thinking about what Kosovo did to them.
Mm. Yes.
Unexpectedly in the home game, where of course England were 5-1 up and got pegged back to 5-3 and had a little bit of a scare, really. Mm-hmm. So it took them a while to get their confidence, to work it out. And of course, I know they made some changes and they accelerated away towards the end, as you'd probably expect, you know, a superior side to do that. But I found the first half an hour particularly interesting, especially given the changes that England had made as well.
Yeah, well, of course, he started with Rice and Winks. Now,
Jimmy Campbell, step up.
Luke and I scorned Jim for many reasons on that day, but one of them...
Marcus, I think fairly.
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff he said off mic, you know, we couldn't trust him on mic, of course.
That was unacceptable on any show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you said, Jim, that he could start Rice and Winks. He did. Why don't you talk us through that?
Well, I don't think he is likely to start Rice and Winks in a tournament game.
He's backtracking now.
Yeah. No, but that's sort of the point, isn't it? That I think when you look at what happened against Croatia, that's going to still be kind of weighing heavy on Southgate's mind. And I think
you mean in the semi-final
in the World Cup. And I think Rice and Winks offer different things, but they're both pretty safe options. So I think against a midfield that are technically better than England, he might want to see what this is like, so you can get that kind of safety first option in there. Effectively, Rice to win it, Winks to move it on.
Winks is a safer. I think Winks has got to start no matter what the midfield.
I mean that combination. So I think the interesting aspect of it is that I don't want to put words in your mouth, Marcus, but you can probably tell me if I'm wrong though. Is that when we said Rice and Winks, and we thought they wouldn't start together? I was thinking that there's no way he's going to start two holders. Mm. I didn't think he would play Winks in that kind of more advanced position.
He
did do that, and Winks played well.
Because he carries the ball well, doesn't he? So
it did work.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... The thing that worries me about it is all the rumours this weekend have been that the evolution of this England team, that Southgate's going to change the formation again. And he wants a solid, at least solid plan B. And he wants to use the games they've got left, which aren't, by the way, there aren't many of them, to change the formation again from, because I think they're on their third kind of shape now under Southgate. And I'm worried that they're going to lose that front three.
Yeah.
And that's not going to play to our strengths.
Especially because our strengths are going forward.
Yeah.
And the problems that we have are clearly at the back against better opposition or in tournament football. So you can't have a good defence as a plan B. has to be incorporated in your plan A, otherwise you're fucked.
My big fear is that like we can't find two solid centre-backs, let alone three, so I hope it doesn't move to three.
I think centre-back... I'm
come in, Jamal Lascelles.
There it is.
Give him the call. Put the bat signal up.
Yeah. It's about time we had that shout, Peter.
I'm right.
Heard it here first.
Scream.
Put the magpie signal up.
And I can't imagine you'll hear it anywhere else. You heard it here first.
And more shame them.
I think the centre-back partnership, whether it be Maguire and Stones, Maguire and Gomez.
It's going to be Maguire and one other, isn't it, you would think?
You would think so, yes. Because Gomez isn't playing that much for Liverpool. I think it was Gomez and Stones who played in the home game against Croatia in the Nations League. And they looked pretty good. So I think probably a combination of those three. I think centre half. I think we're okay. I don't think I know what you mean. I think it's not Van Dijk back there.
The fact that we don't know who that centre back pairing is going to be now is perhaps a cause for concern. But
I wouldn't be so concerned because
maybe he does know what it is. He just wants to change it.
And also, even if you look on the positives of that, there are players in there who have got the rest of the season to fight for a place. And obviously they'll be doing that for their clubs anyway, but it's that little extra bit of motivation and that could work into England's favour. And if I can briefly go back to the idea of Rice and Winks in the midfield, I have a feeling that if in a tournament the midfield is getting overrun and the game seems to be slipping away, that he will perhaps shuffle the pack into that formation just to try and control that midfield against the technical side.
Yeah.
And
I don't think Rice is up to the job, personally.
No? His form has certainly dipped, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think. Look, he's a good player, and I don't want to get on the back of somebody, but if we're talking cold, hard truths, trying to get to the latter stages of a tournament, I'm not sure Rice is up to the job, and I think that is the area where England lack. Like I say, with the centre-halves, I mean, if it's Maguire and Stone, say, for example, at the back, I think they're two decent centre-halves. You can't really argue that much because England don't have Virgil van Dijk at the back or somebody like that. But it is that combination in midfield. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is and will, barring injury, and you know, if we take it without massive dips of form and all that kind of stuff, I think Oxlade-Chamberlain will have one of those positions. Southgate's suggested that as well. I think he probably would like to play Jordan Henderson in there as well, just because of the experience and so on, and people may not think it's the most glamorous, or they might think Henderson. To me, it's where do you sort of fit Winks in? Because I think he's got to play. That midfield three combination is Southgate's biggest concern and headache.
Yes, it is. And I don't want him to see him change. I don't want to see him change everything around because of that. And on your Declan Rice point, he's obviously a young, improving player. He's 20 years old.
Of course, yeah.
And if we look across some of the key players for England now, I know there's a sort of sprinkling of experience in there, but the key players for England, you can list a lot of them. Trent Alexander-Arnold is a key player now because of what he offers from the right-hand side. 9 caps. Declan Rice, 7 caps. Harry Winks, who's got to start, according to this show, and I agree with it, 6 caps.
But going into the World Cup last time around, there wasn't that much experience as well.
Sure.
They knew their jobs. And I think Southgate is drilling people. The formation...
I'm just saying we need to understand where we are, that's all, as a team.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I think you can pinpoint some players and some teams when they've not had much experience. It's about knowing your jobs. And I think England do have a little bit of experience there in the spine of the team. Pickford has played in a major tournament, so has Maguire, so is Stones. Kane, Sterling, so there are players in there who, it's a young side, but there is experience among them. But that midfield
nice
three.
Balance.
Yeah, I mean, but look, the formation change you're saying, obviously England played a 4-3-3 under Southgate in the qualifying, I think it was, for the World Cup, but it was a different sort of 4-3-3 than what we have now. Then they had the 3-5-2 at the tournament. Now they have this 4-3-3 with a sort of pivot and the two midfielders sort of shuttling either side. What are you suggesting that he might... Did you think he might go back to the 3-5-2?
I don't have any insight into it, but that's what is being mentioned.
With the 3-5-2, it bolsters up the defence. You have an extra centre-half. England have players that can play wing-back. You still keep your three in midfield, so there's still that conversation to be had. But then you lose an attacker, of course.
But I think you lose the... I think you then blunt both Sterling and Sancho.
Yeah, I think you...
And possibly Rashford as well.
You perhaps lose the initiative there. You know,
I think we can all agree around this table, the strength of our team is in the front three.
Yeah.
So if you lose that, I think what you're doing is... Cowardly is a too strong a word, but you're being a little bit reticent because you're scared of what your team can do to dominate the ball. England have never really been that good at dominating the ball anyway, particularly against good teams. I would be inclined to say... it's a tournament. Anything can happen. There are teams now, I think, firmly, and I don't think this is me being kind of blinking because I'm an England fan. They're not going to want to play that front three. Teams are going to go up. Any team is going to go up against that a combination of those three and go, don't fancy that very much. If I'm the manager of, if I'm Roberto Martinez or Didier Deschamps or Yogi Love or whoever, I'm thinking, if you are going to change that front three around and change the formation, I'm very, very happy about that.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think we should do it.
Okay, fair point.
It's all going to be about the friendlies that they set up before.
They haven't got many games, Pete, you know that. Yeah. I think there's only three planned between now and then.
They should have one match where they just, you know, like in tournaments where you lose, a player gets sent off or something, they should have like a contingency game. Pick like a team, like, I don't know, like Kosovo or Switzerland or something. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously not an excellent team.
Yeah, but a decent
just play story. 10 players.
Yeah.
Because they're the situations that you've got to practice for.
Yeah.
And as long as there's an implicit agreement between the two teams, Pete, we're going to play with 10 because we're good.
Rooney's not part of the squad anymore.
Well, we did try that, man.
This is the full sense of security that we maybe should perhaps put on our radar. That could still happen, couldn't it?
Or even if they wouldn't like sanction it officially, just have Harry Kane sit on the corner flag.
Yeah.
Because he loved taking corners in the world, didn't he?
Euro 2016.
You're going back to the loss against Iceland. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
Play against Iceland, play it with 10 men.
But in World Cup 2018, you remember him being, he wasn't taking corners because he was being fouled at every corner.
That's right, yes.
Literally every single corner. Yeah. I think we got about 42 penalties out of it.
Yeah. Another great thing from this game, though, as well, is the goals from open play. England looks such a different prospect from the team that played in the World Cup, and Southgate has moved them on in a really positive way. I'm excited. Don't know about you guys.
Yeah. But it is a combination of things that we see England in this place. One is, if you take the Kosovo game, well, they're a team that like to attack. So Kosovo are a nice football inside, but they're not, I mean, they're quite brittle and they're quite gettable. And that's why England were able to do what they did. And we saw it in the first game. The other teams in the group, I mean, there's an aberration there because obviously England lost to Czech Republic, but the other teams aren't very good. I mean, Bulgaria and Montenegro particularly are awful. And so we have to be realistic about it.
We do, but it's the size of the scorelines that makes me very positive.
I'm still thinking about Sam Allardyce as being the man, right?
I understand what you mean. I just think that when England, you know, that attacking front three we talk about and the free-flowing football that they play, but against a better side who are going to control the ball a bit and are going to deny England space, I think
that's the real quiz, isn't it?
Well, it is the real quiz, Jim. I think
it's literally Netherlands.
Yeah, exactly.
The Netherlands.
To deny the space and all that kind of stuff, England will have to. England can, if England can try and soak up the pressure and hit on the break, I think that could be a very, very handy thing to do. But as Luke says, you know, that front three, it would be a shame if that front three were broken up in any way, because England have pace and quality up there. And I don't care who you are, that will always concern an opposition manager. Going back to the match itself, Mason Mount with his first goal for England. Obviously, Winks got his first goal, so it was good for him. He's enjoying himself as well. It starts for Hudson-Odoi. Nick Pope as well.
Yeah.
In goal. Get the Pope in there.
Yeah.
Did you see what he said on the TV? They said, oh, how was it? And he said, yeah, I had to book some flights for my family quickly to get him over, which is quite nice, isn't it?
I don't think he knew he was going to start.
I'm starting, for crying out loud.
And I think we've got, I mean, Mount and Rashford came on, didn't they, and scored after they came on.
Yeah, Tomori came on as well. He only got about 6 minutes, but still.
Lovely finish from Rashford as well.
Oh, beautiful.
I really like the look of Tomori. I think he looks great. I'm sorry, I'm trying to stop. I'm stopping myself getting carried away about him. I think he looks fantastic. It might be because we've got few games between now and the tournament, it's come a bit too soon for him, but he's still someone to be really excited about.
But he could get in the squad. I mean,
I think he'll be in the squad for sure.
Yeah,
I think he will.
Because I'd say Mings, I think, is a decent centre back, but I'm not sure about, again, against the sort of if Stones and Maguire. I know Stones has made a few errors.
I think you can say that about Mings as well. It's the problem, isn't it?
What I was going to say was I know that Stones has made the odd high-profile error, but I would say he's still one of our best sort of three centre-backs.
Yeah.
So Maguire, Stones and Gomez, you know, I think Keane, even though he's been played a lot, I don't know, Keane might be trying to sort of keep Tomori off of that sort of fourth centre half. But if Tomori plays regularly in the Champions League, he's playing for Chelsea and they finish, you know, sort of top four or five or whatever it is, as I think Glenn Hoddle or Lee Dixon were making the point, you know, that he's got big game experience.
Did you see Zola came out and said that him and Sarri completely missed his talents last
year? Really?
At Chelsea. I'm sorry, we must have missed that, Jeff. Sorry.
Yeah. It's nice to have a bit of honesty.
I mean, normally, there was a young fella knocking about, now you mention it.
Yeah, but normally sort of a manager would sort of say, no, he wasn't ready, you know. And, I just like that. Yeah, no.
Mourinho wouldn't have said that.
Oh, God, yeah. Imagine Mourinho.
Well, they probably wouldn't have said that before some decent performances from him in an English shirt.
That's true.
But I think in the absence of us having these truly towering and reliable centre-backs, I probably would be tempted to go with the combination that's got the most experience in bigger games. Mm-hmm. Because tournament football is a unique situation. At least if you had Maguire and Stones, don't mean to be disrespectful to Aston Villa particularly, but when you play for Man United or Man City these days, every game you've got a lot of scrutiny on you, there's a lot of pressure on it. If Aston Villa go away to Bournemouth, or whatever, that's a poor example because of Mings, but Aston Villa go away to Sheffield United or whatever, it's not really a big game. Mm. And so there may not be the attention on him. It's also been a fairly meteoric rise for Mings, who's still a young man. So I don't think he should be under too much pressure, really. I mean, he's 26 now, so maybe if he forces his way in, forces a move to an even bigger club, and then the following tournament, he might find himself right in there. I would definitely pick, I'd probably pick Tomori over Keane, to be honest, because Tomori's an improving player, playing in the Champions League when he plays.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more important.
What do we think of Kyle Walker?
What, as a centre-back option? Like I'm
moving it to the sort of the full-backs, because he seems to be sort of the forgotten man here.
Yeah.
He's still a decent operator. He's still doing okay for Man City, as far as I'm aware. Yet he's not being picked. And I think a few squads ago, when he started to be dropped, we thought, oh, well, Southgate knows. He's obviously trying out different people, but he likes Alexander-Arnold. He played him in both games. He knows Trippier quite well, and he's brought sort of Trippier back into the fold. I don't think Wan-Bissaka, I think it's probably too early for him.
Yeah.
And I look at Kyle Walker and I think, you know, he's a man with a lot of experience. He did play in the UEFA Nations League. You know, we know about his pace. We know. I mean, you would say that Walker's probably a more well-rounded fullback than Alexander-Arnold and Trippier, just because of his age and as his experience. I know he doesn't offer that crossing ability and some of the attacking flair that Alexander-Arnold has.
Mm.
So I'm not sort of, if Walker misses out, I won't be sort of too upset. But on another hand, I do think to myself, you know,
he's unlucky there.
Yeah.
I'm personally surprised he's in ahead of, or Trippier's in ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Walker is probably a bit more of a solid, but more of a consistent option. And yeah, I mean, he'll be 30 when the World Cup comes around, so he's plenty left in the tank. He's playing well for City. I guess it's just that England are so well stocked in that position, and Trent Alexander-Arnold is a pretty rare occurrence in a fullback that can cross the ball like that and create so many chances that I suppose Walker is just unfortunately a victim of the fact that England are well stocked.
My take is different to yours. My take on it, and it might be wrong, is that Southgate did say earlier in the international break that he knew what he was getting from Kyle Walker. He didn't need to look at him again. Mm. But also, I think it's a little bit more clever than that, Jim. I think that Trippier is now playing in Atletico Madrid.
Well, if you're going to improve defensively. Yeah.
He's playing well. Mm-hmm. But I think also there's definitely a feeling, particularly with English players, because they don't have a real history of going overseas. I think Southgate's including Trippier to say, by the way, I've not forgotten about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to play him. Mm. He knows what he gets from him. He's very loyal, isn't he, to Southgate to players. I mean, remember he had that thing with Jake Livermore. He said, people were questioning it. He said, well, look, Jake Livermore's always been great for me.
Yeah.
Lord, he's important to me. He's popular in the squad and I want him in there because I know what he can do. I think it's the same with Trippier. He said, you've gone to Atletico Madrid. It's a bold move. It's a move you need to make. I want you to let you know that I've not forgotten about you. And that's why he's included.
And also, if you want to improve defensively, it's not a bad place to go under Simeone.
No, exactly. Yeah. He'd certainly be knackered, won't he?
That's what you want.
Probably went away with England for a bit of a break. Loving this. A little sit on the bench.
Brings us on a little inflatable.
I think Southgate brought him on, sat him on the bench, gave him a hot chocolate and said, get your strength back.
Exactly. Yeah. Have a breather. Yeah. Have a breather. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a breather with a quick break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke Moore, give us a 4-score update.
No 4-score winners this week yet again. I think Torgan Hazard whittled it right down. Not many people had him. But then that Northern Ireland game, it was 0-0, which I think then wiped everybody out. So there's still 250,000 for this week coming up back for the Premier League. It's free to play, of course. Go to betway.com/4-score. That's /4 and then to score for your chance to win a share at least of £250,000, but do bet responsibly.
Absolutely. Imagine if we win this season, it will be like a liberated city. Yeah. We'll be running around the studio.
Will we liberate a city, do you think?
I mean, we'd have to give it the charity. It would be a bit of a shame.
It will be, Well, it will be a mixed feeling, won't it? Let's all be completely honest with ourselves.
At least two people around this table, which I'm one of them, could do with that money. Yeah. But anyway, there we go.
Now it's time for emails with PD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PD's reading it out. Well done.
Hello to all of you emailers. I heard you slagging us off last week.
All of your lovers out there, that sounds like.
All your lovers. Hello to Charlie. Hi, guys. The second time emailer and long-term listener. Not a long email, but on this week's preview show, you mentioned Capello having the highest win ratio for England. Sam Allardyce just swilled a random passerby with a pint of boiling hot gravy in disgust.
Yeah. I don't think one game cuts it.
Put some respect on the man's name.
I think Sam Allardyce will have lost the game by now.
You reckon?
I also think that if you take all the football shows across all the lands, I think we put more respect on Sam's name than anyone else.
we might
do it in quite an arch way, but it's done out of love.
That's certainly a take.
Yeah. Look, Daily Mail sidebar, shame, just mention it. Like, just as long as the name's in there.
If you're listening,
hits
Sam,
means cash.
If you're listening, Big Sam, Ramble Meets, there's a spot for you on it, mate.
Yeah. Sam, right.
Tell us your side of the story.
Yeah, and that is spelled M-double-E-T-S.
Hello to
Dan. We could do a bit of both. Yeah. Put a spread out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll put a spread on. I don't mind.
Hello to Dan Shoesmith. This is a lovely email because it reminds me of someone we haven't spoken about for about 5 seasons, pretty much. A quick word on Ramble favourite and all-round wild man, Kenny Pavey.
Ah. Hey.
Kenny Pavey was a fan favourite, Ramble favourite back in the early years of the Football Ramble, I think it's fair to say.
As a result, I'm still friends with him on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. He was like a Millwall fan. Did he briefly play for Millwall? He was a kind of like journeyman kind of footballer in the sort of London area.
He made his
area.
Name in Sweden, didn't he?
He did. For,
but then he headed, headed to over to Sweden.
But he's synonymous with Millwall, but I know what you mean.
It was back when like no players played abroad. Like two, and he was one of them.
He never played for Millwall.
No, but because he goes on about Millwall because he's a massive fan. I think because he plays in another country, you can talk up another side like that.
But you may recall that 10 years ago, he was part of the AIKS side that won the Allsvenskan, establishing a huge fan base amongst the club's fans for his antics, including climbing a barbed wire atop the wall to celebrate a vital goal with the supporters' hands bloody and not a yellow card in sight. He was a real fan's favourite because he was just... He was a bit spicy, wasn't he?
He loved it. For people who have never seen him play, which is probably just about everyone, I remember seeing him for when he played for Eichel that season, watched it on a clip or whatever, and he's like a really tenacious, midfield kind of dynamo type guy.
He was the first Ramble meets kind of unofficially, because he came on the show once, didn't he?
He did.
It was him and...
Dean Windass.
Isn't Kenny playing the second division of Norway, Sweden now?
Well, his last game was for his team out there. His fans cheered and applauded. Applauded vigorously at his name before the match, and his players marked the occasion by handing his team a 7-0 gubbing. Pavey was subbed off before full time and cheered off by both sets of fans, and in a post match interview simply said, "Now I'm getting myself a cold beer." Nice. Kenny Pavey, we hardly knew you. Come on.
Yeah, good man. He's now plying his trade. He's plying his trade, part time in the fourth level of Swedish football. Good. Just doing it for the love. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, love that.
But he's retired now, and he's saying goodbye. Yeah. The email jingle may very well be a violation of the Geneva Convention, but I've remembered the new email address, so who can argue with its effectiveness? You know what I mean? So there you go. I'll see you in a high court somewhere. Hello to Steamer. Hello to the Ramblers. I was listening to the show and you noticed you made some errors.
Oh, no.
About the Iceland versus Turkey match. Of course, a good story should not suffer the truth. This time, however, I must set something straight. You talked about the Turkish football team being held for ages at the airport and that an Icelandic journalist held up a toilet brush. I know your goal isn't anything resembling quality journalism. We'll just end the email there, shall we?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Okay.
But here we go. The Turkish team flew into Shenzhen from an airport that does not meet security standards, meaning they had to be checked at landing. They didn't work with the staff, which delayed everything, and we're out of the airport in 80 minutes, which isn't that much. I've been through there in similar time. Then Emre decided to rally the team and the nation by making up a story about them being held for hours. When he was talking to the press, some Belgian tourists stuck a toilet brush in there. A farce, of course, manufactured by Emre and the Turkish FA. Oh. The plan didn't work and they lost. So,
Jim's sources are in the Turkish camp, so that's why he was told that. Exactly, yeah. You can't blame Jim.
A friend of Emre.
Couple of things on that.
That's not a badge you want, is it?
No. There's every chance that Emre will lead Turkey out in their first game in the Euros next season, and he'll be just, I think he's 2 weeks older than me, so he'll be just short of 40, which is mad. And the second thing is, I've got a correction and clarification of my own.
Okay.
I'm surprised the email hasn't picked up on it.
I saw a couple of tweets about something.
Yeah, I said on Thursday that the Nations League playoff, which, let's be fair, is baffling.
Yes.
Was two legs, but it's not. It's one leg.
One leg, yeah.
And the seeded team get the home draw, don't they?
That's right.
And then it goes through to a final, and there's four teams that will qualify later in March.
To be honest with you, when you were talking about sort of the playoffs and qualification, when we get to this stage, you could have said that goals count treble if you score an overhead kick. And I bet, have they done that? Have they?
The only acceptable course of action when it comes to that conversation is to immediately pick up your mobile phone and ring Andy Brassel. And if he's not available, move on.
Yeah, I feel like in 20 years' time, there will be a movie about the guy who had to figure all this out in its inception, and that guy will be played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and it'll like win loads of.
Oh, it's Alan Partridge on the day to day with that big kind of like World Cup selector thing.
And not only that, I remember a while back, it might have been last season, the start of last season. I found myself at home looking at all the permutations of the Champions League draw because teams from different countries can't be drawn the same. And I tell you, if you get into it, it's mad. Yeah. I remember trying to do an explainer on it for the show. I just end up sacking it off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same for this. The amount of different permutations is unbelievable. Whoever does that must have some kind of...
calculator.
Yeah. I mean, qualification in statistics or something.
I mean, on Thursday, you had been without water for some time. Has water returned to your life?
I was without water in my house for 48 hours. Damn, I could have used that as an excuse.
Exactly. You could have been dehydrated, mate.
I was.
Yeah.
I was. Anyway, the ramble way is, if you're not sure, bluff it.
Mm-hmm.
You get away with it, great. If it gets called out by the listeners, correction and clarification next show. Move on. What are you worried about?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was the emails.
All right then, gentlemen. I said at the top of the show that the Welsh are in a position. It doesn't mean to say I'm some sort of military
are they on the verge?
Commander, but they beat Azerbaijan 2-0 away from home. Giggs' guys, they got the win they needed. And of course, Croatia beat Slovakia, which was the other result they needed to happen. So it's
Come
all
on, you Wales.
About the home game against Hungary, Jim.
Yes.
It's all going into that.
They can win that, Marcus.
They can win that. This is what we were saying, that if you gave gigs the opportunity, you said one win away.
I wasn't saying that.
Well, what do you think? Do you think they'll be disappointed the way it's worked out currently?
I think there's two schools of thought. I think the one school of thought is the one you've
unplugging
talked about, which is, and it's not, I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I mean, you said that they would have taken this, that if they can win at home on the last day to qualify automatically, they'd have taken it. And I think that's a fair shout. Mm. I think the other way of looking at it is that Hungary have been a bit of a surprise.
Yep.
And if that's the case, there's no reason Wales couldn't have been a bit of a surprise as well. I think Croatia have got away with quite a lot, given they're in transition, they've lost players.
They're still better, though. They're the best side in that group.
They are, but they're how many times in the past have we seen teams do something amazing in a tournament and then that's their summit and they drop away.
But they're still the best side in that. I mean, if you think, say, Kiefer Moore, who got the first goal for Wales, maybe scored two goals in four caps, but I think he's 27 years old and he's only just got four caps.
Give him some platform shoes. Yeah. He's not tall enough.
I love this. It's the Andy Carroll thing, isn't it? Sometimes a tall player, it just wreaks havoc with the game plan.
Yeah, indeed. But the point I'm making is that when you say, well, Wales could have been a bit of a surprise and all this, well, Ramsey would be crucial to most teams on the planet. He's not been there. Mm. They don't have these options. You know, they bring through some young players, even before they're playing for their first teams. This guy Moore has come in. We only got four caps. You know, they're always trying to sort of discover new people. And where did you say your grandfather was from? You know, that kind of thing. And so actually, I stand by. I think if you give Wales, who have only qualified for one tournament since 1958, whatever it is, last game, the winner takes all, you're at home. I think you have to take it because
playing a player like Moore kind of expose some slight tactical naivety from Ryan Giggs in that?
Well, it worked.
Yeah, it worked. But I mean, do they need to, against Azerbaijan? Do they really need to be relying on a giant?
I don't know.
It's Azerbaijan, Marcus.
It is,
but depends if you think of that's not a legitimate way to play or not. And it is a legitimate way.
Kiefer Moore himself
said. But it's a smack of desperation.
But also, but when you say it's Azerbaijan, you might be thinking, and I might incur the wrath of some of our non-English listeners here, but it's not England playing Azerbaijan. You know, England is scoring a lot of goals at the moment. Wales only beat Azerbaijan 2-1 at home, and it was a late header from Gareth Bale, which from an Azerbaijan point of view was probably a poor one to concede. They don't have the options going forward like they do. It's a difficult away game, so I don't know what went through Giggs's head, but Moore scored and he had a decent game, and it's not his first, it was his second goal in four.
Well, the result speaks for itself. And I just wonder, my take on Group E is it's a little bit different to you guys or to you, Marcus, which is that I think it's a bit of a muchness. I think if you look at Croatia, I think they flattered to deceive. Mm-hmm. They weren't great when they beat Wales 2-1 back in June. Mm-hmm. They were gettable. Wales draw with them at home as well? Did, Croatia also drew with Azerbaijan. I mean, they got pegged back by Azerbaijan, went a goal up, didn't look great.
But they won the group though, Croatia.
Absolutely. But I'm saying there are opportunities. Look, it's just because they won the group and when they went on to do these things, they've won 5 out of 8 games in a group that's got a lot of average teams in it. Mm-hmm. They've not been brilliant. They've not been standout. They've been gettable. And I think we've seen they've been gettable, but they have won the group. That's done now.
Okay.
Wales are still in with a chance, and I'll be pulling for them. I hope they do it.
Yeah, well, the Azerbaijan manager said Wales deserved to win this game because they were the better team.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't argue with that.
It's refreshing, isn't it?
I preferred Moore's explanation, which was defenders are probably not used to going up for headers quite a lot in Azerbaijan.
I wondered about that as well. Like, what?
Well, if you watch Azerbaijani football, which I do, then you'll notice that is a real weakness there. And that's why Ryan Giggs went for me.
Yeah. does Kiefer Moore think that heading the ball is one of Wales' greatest exports?
Yeah, massively.
You can take it around the world.
Only he can really do it.
That's why we've got players from Real Madrid, Juventus playing in the side.
Exactly, but Bale scored
and Wigan.
Bale scored a header to beat them in the home game.
Well, maybe he learned that from Kiefer Moore.
Perhaps. He scored a header because they didn't know what it was.
Exactly.
They didn't know you could do it.
All right.
It
was head height.
Let me rephrase this. So I take your point, Luke, about, before the qualifying group. If you're a Wales fan and Ryan Giggs is the manager, and before the tournament, before the qualification, you thought we're in with a chance for the last game. Bear it in mind, you're from the outside looking in, Giggs as manager.
Yeah.
Ramsey's had his injury problems.
Yeah. I can't believe my luck. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Give it Giggsy.
Yeah. When did they play that game? Is it tomorrow night?
Is it Tuesday night?
I think it's tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night, yeah.
Exciting. Well, Pete's half Welsh. You'll be excited as well, won't you?
Half of me will be.
Yeah.
Which half?
Yeah,
of you will.
Well, you'd think it'd be half and half, like, you know,
straight in the middle.
Rowdy Roddy Piper at that WrestleMania. Not like that. There's little bits, like my little finger, my winky, my nipple.
So you've got
just different parts.
You've got a Welsh penis. Is this a Ramble exclusive?
Yeah.
The Welsh winky. First ever outing for the Welsh winky on the
Welsh
show.
Cake. Donaldson's Welsh cake. Yeah.
I can't believe it's taken so long.
Yeah. I think it's dragon-like qualities, perhaps.
Yeah, good luck. good luck to Wales.
Dribbles fire.
Less said about that, the better.
Dribbles fire. Yeah.
The fire dribbler, I call it.
Don't encourage him, Marcus.
Yeah. I don't know. I've enjoyed this.
At the very same moment, Pete said that his penis dribbles fire, and you said the less said about this, the better. I think that might be the most comprehensive.
Yeah. All right then, everybody. Let us move on to Group C. Northern Ireland. Nil. Netherlands nil, of course. Stephen Davis missed a penalty.
Yeah, and he blazed it as well, didn't he? It's a shame.
That was gutting. It really was.
It's a great result anyway. It really, really is.
Well,
but
it shows
that
you the,
something else.
It shows you the organisation that goes into that side, that they were only just beaten away from home by the Netherlands, and then they held them to a 0-0 draw. But sadly, that result means they can't qualify automatically. Of course, the Dutch and the Germans, predictably, have gone through automatically. But Northern Ireland, no one will want to face them in the playoffs.
No.
Certainly not. So they go in there. But with the way they played, with those kind of results, I understand they'll be disappointed because they wanted to win the match. But isn't that a remarkable thing that they'll have come off having kept a clean sheet against the Netherlands, and there will have been, because they are fallen short with regards to automatic qualification, they would have come away thinking, a bit disappointed and a bit gutted, having held Netherlands to a 0-0 draw. So, as I say, nobody will want to play against them.
Is it fair? I know he's done a great job and he's very, very well liked and probably rightly so, given what he's achieved. But is it worth bringing up the timing of the announcement that Michael O'Neill's going to Stoke? And I find that very, very strange that they had to... I mean, I know Stoke are in a position where they need a manager, but to have that come out just before a crucial game and ahead of these playoffs in March as well, to me it just seems a bit strange in terms of timing.
Well, but he's got to take the job though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, so it's... The timing's kind of...
If you're going to take it, take it.
Limited,
if you're going to take it, take it.
You mean permanent?
Because he's committed to leading them through the playoffs at the same time as managing Stoke. As far as I understand it, I mean, if I'm wrong, it'll be another correction and clarification on Thursday. Friday, sorry. But I find that strange. But realistically, of course, it was always going to be a tough ask for them, wasn't it? When they were drawn in that group, it's going to be very difficult. And the playoffs is probably the realistic target for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. Well, yeah, with regards to O'Neill, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? I understand what you mean, Luke, because if you're going into those playoffs, as far as I'm aware, that you know they're looking good to get into the playoffs. But again, if you try and work it out, whatever UEFA say, UEFA could turn around and go, right, Scotland are in the playoffs, you're playing Brazil. Okay, right, I didn't think that was possible, but I'll take your word for it because I can't be bothered to try and untangle this.
Northern Ireland are definitely in the playoffs,
okay,
and so are Belarus, who are in the same group as them.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't know what path they're going to get yet. I don't think it's been decided.
Sure. So we will see what happens there, but I understand what you're saying because O'Neill will have had... a few months at least in the Stoke City job. It'll be a demanding job because they're down in the sort of relegation zone or there or thereabouts. So I mean, any job is demanding, of course, in management, but you'd want him to be really focused on the Northern Ireland job. And as a Northern Irish fan, if you were a Northern Irish fan, I can understand why you may be slightly concerned about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there we are. In Group I, Scotland won away to Cyprus. Some nice goals in that game. Ryan Christie with a lovely one as well. Ephraim with a well-taken equaliser for Cyprus. He scored a good goal and it wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
Because it was no goal line technology. And I thought to myself, that's a bit strange in a qualifying, important game. Well, it's not that important, actually, but, you know, it qualifies.
But it could have been.
It could have been, yeah. I was a little bit surprised, actually. Because
is there no goal line technology in some match? Is it just stadium-based or...?
I don't think they have it.
No. I think you have to you use it or you don't.
Right. Yeah.
Thing,
yeah,
you
know? I was thinking. Yeah.
So it was just a bit weird how when you saw the replay, it looked very much like it crossed the line.
Yeah.
And you thought, oh, that'll be given. And you thought, oh, right.
Because you get seduced into thinking that's all going to be sorted out.
Yeah.
And it isn't. Shame. Yeah. But they again, Scotland are a team who are looking at the playoffs now. I mean, they're going to be in a. I think they're going to be in a path with definitely Norway and Serbia.
Yeah, Serbia to me, you got to avoid them.
Yeah, but Scotland at the moment are ranked number one in their path.
Yeah,
which means I don't think they'll play Norway or Serbia unless they get to the final of the playoff. We don't know who they're going to play yet. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, because of their success in the UEFA Nations League, that was the important bit for Scotland, really. I think in a group that, you know, had Belgium in there
and Russia, who've been great.
Yeah, exactly. It was always going to be unlikely. So they did their doggies early on.
They did,
and they've just sort of taken it easy in this qualification.
That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is they had such a disastrous set of results. They lost their manager and changed it to a new manager who has all the air of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
But it's,
and they've found it really tough.
But it's like
that's what
it's
I was
a lot brighter than it for the home nations than it looked like, you know, 3 months ago. So it looked very
yeah
dull.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Everyone is still in the hunt to some extent.
Yeah.
Pete, you go away to Kazakhstan and get beaten 3-0, you are going to be labelled a prat. It's as simple as that.
Mate, they're not used to people scoring goals from headers. That's the thing.
Yeah, apparently Kazakhstan weren't used to Scotland using their left foot or something. Yeah. But they still managed to beat them 3-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think in when you get to the playoffs, I think Serbia will be one of the teams you want to avoid because Mitrovic.
They're playing Norway.
Yeah.
Mm. Pretty sure they're playing Norway.
I can't tell you what.
But who knows? I mean, I could be making
Serbia,
it up.
I think, would be one of the best teams in the playoffs because I think they're a good side. They've got some good players.
It's funny, I spoke to Lars yesterday, obviously proud Norwegian, and he seemed pretty happy they got Serbia.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a fool.
They'll come back to bite him, won't it? when he's sitting out the summer.
Well, I think he's probably quite confident because Norway is the best Norway side we've seen probably in a few years because they've been really bad. Mm. So I think he's probably quite confident in his own boys.
Yeah, probably.
That's good to see.
I think it's fair to say they're all putting their hopes on the big Erling Braut Haaland.
Of course.
Phenomenon. Wow, who scored.
Don't forget King.
Yeah, just King.
Well, exactly, yeah. Absolutely.
Don't ever forget the King. All right, Group D. Ireland need to beat Denmark tonight.
They must be absolutely sick of the sight of each other. Even Denmark, who just seem to win this every time.
According to the Denmark manager, he said that his players hate playing Ireland, and I thought, we can't hate it that much.
Do it enough.
Too easy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's trying to give Ireland a compliment and say, oh, yeah, they're really tough, they're this, that, and the other.
Any shout for Arga Hareide, the Danish manager's nickname, because he's won league titles in all the Scandinavian countries?
Far away.
The Norse Whisperer.
Nice.
Nice. That's fantastic.
And another, another coach, who older guy, who I think had it thrust upon him or it was leaked to the press by the Danish Football Association that he was leaving his post.
Right.
And he came out and said, to be honest, I would have stayed on for a little bit longer. Mm. I would have preferred this not to have come out.
Mm.
And it's kind of unsettled him a bit, Denmark.
Right.
And so there's an opportunity there, but Ireland are going to have to get over this this kind of idea that, wasn't it like leading up to the World Cup, they got absolutely destroyed in the playoff by Denmark.
Yeah, yeah. And we've mentioned it a few times. Ireland fans won't be, you know, they'll be like, all right, lads, come on, move.
Fuck them. Seriously, it happened.
But
deal with it.
Big Mick McCarthy wasn't in charge at the time.
It's true. Well, it's true.
That McCarthy true. Said that I was a big Leeds fan as a kid and I remember watching that the FA Cup final in 1973 against Sunderland and it was an absolute shoo-in. Sunderland couldn't win. Guess what? They did. And all the games subsequently that I've seen or been involved with, when teams shouldn't win, they've got better players, a better squad, a better manager, everything's in their favour, and they get slapped. Well, that's what I'm hoping will happen tomorrow. So is he going to slap the North?
I hope not.
Imagine that before the game. Imagine he stuck to his word. He just walked over to him and went, bang, right, lads, it's up to you now.
Did any journalist come straight back to him and say, Mick, if you have to go back 46 years to make your point, it's kind of a little bit moot.
He said, always there's a big performance in us that can win a game. If I don't believe it, I might as well go home. And it's like, he's thought about going home, hasn't he? Yeah. He's very much thought about
it. He's basically admitting that he's pretending to believe it there, isn't he?
I mean, and also people listening to that will be confused if they followed Group D for this entire qualifying cycle, because the big performances, in quote, have been a 1-0 draw with Switzerland, a 1-0 win over Georgia, a 2-0 win over Gibraltar, a 1-0 draw with Denmark, fair enough, a 2-0 defeat by Switzerland, a 0-0 draw with Georgia, and a 1-0 win over Gibraltar. So they're due one, let's be fair.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a tough ask.
I found it quite interesting that he said after that 1973 FA Cup final, all the games subsequently that I've seen or been involved in, so all the games since 1973 that he's seen,
incredible.
I'd imagine he's seen a lot of football and he's been involved with, and bear in mind he had a long playing career, he's had a
Mick,
long
have you only career. Watched four games since 1973?
When the teams shouldn't win, they've got better players and everything's in their favour, they get slapped. It's an extraordinary quote.
Yeah. It's incredible from me.
Every game he's witnessed or been involved in, well, witnessed,
slapped.
The better side has been slapped by the smaller side.
Yeah.
All right.
Watched a lot of San Marino recently.
Unfathomable. Can I bring this back to reality and give some more bad news to Republic of Ireland fans?
Oh, go on.
There's two pieces of information which say to me, and I'm again, we'll see what happens tonight. I'm looking forward to the game. I'll definitely be watching it.
Yep.
Two pieces of information that I think make it tough for Ireland.
Seamus Coleman.
One is that Denmark, did they get knocked out on penalties from the last tournament?
Against Croatia.
Yeah, they did. So that's a draw on paper.
Uh-huh.
They haven't lost a game since since 2016.
Really?
Don't think so. No, a competitive game. And secondly, Republic of Ireland have played 7 games and scored 6 goals. So,
yeah, but you're forgetting though, because
what am I forgetting, Marcus? Am I forgetting that Mick McCarthy looks more and more like Sven Göran Eriksson every day?
No.
I haven't forgotten that. It's front of my mind every time I think of
you
the
are
man.
Forgetting, Luke, that in all the games he has subsequently seen or been involved in since that FA Cup final in 1973, when teams shouldn't win, they've got better players, a better squad, a better manager, everything's in their favour, they get slapped.
Yeah,
that's what you're forgetting.
That's
Luke.
Why it's the best game in the world.
Denmark are in for a right old they slapping are. Tonight.
I would have thought across 46 years, a team that's the favourite would have won a game.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
the headlines will be saying, Dane slapped.
Yeah.
It would be great.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Should be a shoo-in.
The Norse Whisperer has lost his hearing because he's been slapped upside the head by Big Mick.
Seamus Coleman is suspended, isn't he, for the game?
A footnote.
Yeah.
A footnote.
But so that, if anything, that goes in favour of Ireland.
I'd love them to
Mick's theory.
I'd love them to nick a 1-0 win, qualify for the Euros, scoring 7 goals in 8 games, see Big Mick next summer.
Yeah. Slap a 1-0.
Yeah.
But again...
But you know what? You're right, Luke. If they win 1-0, which is very possible, 7 goals in 8 games and they qualify automatically. That's sensational stuff from Big Mick.
By the way...
Sensational is a way of looking at it.
Yeah. No, but it is, in the sense of his style of football, coming in to get them to qualify for a tournament... Yeah. And so listen, it would be phenomenal for him.
One thing we are assured of is that they'll either qualify for the tournament, or it'll be the first time in 46 years that an underdog hasn't won a game. Either way, it'll be a night to remember for Big Mick. So, and I should put out that Ireland have got a chance of they go through the playoffs anyway. So if they don't qualify tonight, they've still got the playoffs.
Yeah, presumably they want the best team possible. It's amazing that they haven't won a tournament, isn't it?
It is,
That game, what was it? When was the last tournament they qualified for? Was it 2000? Oh, I forget now. But I remember them in 2012. Would it have been in the same group as Italy and Spain?
Yeah.
How the hell did they not come through that?
Yeah, it's surprising.
And all the games subsequently I've seen or been involved
in. Well, we know now which games he was and wasn't watching.
Yeah. Because exactly.
He couldn't have been watching any of them.
Just think of the GIF.
Yeah.
You know the one. Think of the GIF. Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
All right, did you guys see that there was an amazing instance in the non-league across the weekend?
Okay,
non-Eton.
Non-league weekend?
It was women's football weekend last weekend
women's
as well.
Sorry,
yeah,
sorry.
But this was a non-league game.
That was last international break, I think, non-league day.
Between non-Eton and against Stratford in the Bet Victor Southern League Central Division, which is the 7th tier of English football. A goalkeeper took a penalty and he blazed it over the bar. Tony Breeden, his name was. I love the fact that the goalkeeper was taking penalties. He blazed over the bar, right? But he hit it so hard that you can imagine a non-league stand behind the goal. It smashed into a light fitting, knocked the light off the stand, which then smashed onto the... onto the people below it.
Wow.
Is anyone hurt?
I don't think so. I haven't checked.
3 dead.
There's the picture.
Wow. That is cool.
Yeah. Okay. So
tasty. I'll just double check if anyone got hurt.
We're unaware. As far as we think, no one's been hurt.
Yeah. I
imagine it's shatter. The chances of anyone getting seriously hurt, I've decided as a risk assessment.
Okay.
As the risk assessment.
Well, I'll tell you what, the newspaper who covered this... fortunately for Breeden, his teammate bailed him out netting the opening goal. No mention of whether anyone got hurt or not.
Yeah.
But someone also commented on the story saying that was the highlight of the match.
Yes!
There we go.
For a bit, until it was a low light.
Indeed, Jim.
Mick McCarthy thought it was a really surprising result.
Someone slapped the light, didn't they?
Indeed. Did you see the giant CGI lion in Argentina?
Yes!
Estudiantes.
It was the opening of their new stadium, and it was...
What was this, about a week ago?
Yeah, about a week ago or so, and it's obviously a VR thing.
It's incredible.
Just like this just huge flaming lion walking around the stadium, roaring, walking on the pitch with little bits of fire falling off of it, climbing up on the stands.
Worth a look if you haven't seen it.
Well worth a look.
I'm a little bit like Limmy on Twitter. I get really angry with people getting holograms wrong. The BBC just reported the puff piece, the PR piece, as a hologram, but it wasn't. It's not VR, it's AR, so augmented. Reality rather than VR.
So you have to wear glasses to see it?
No, you have to just get it on your phone. There's no.
I was going
to
ask you how it worked because it looks unbelievable.
Yeah, clearly the video is through a phone, isn't it? It's obviously
it's just a recording of someone's screen. But, you know, very impressive. But people just keep on getting holograms wrong.
Well, I heard that.
Stop getting holograms wrong, people.
Can I just decide through you whether I need to be impressed or not impressed by this? Right. Is it any good or not?
I think technically it's not that much of an impressive.
You just hold your phone up and it's on the phone with the stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Like playing Pokemon Go or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. Well, I heard the Lions scored 3 goals.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
The kick wasn't very good.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And the Lion was on the underdogs team, so it's bound to happen.
Yeah. Would you say the keeper was poor?
I thought he did. I thought you were going to get some puns out in the light bit.
Yeah. Was that the main event, or was there another game afterwards?
No, it's like that. Yeah. He got the lion's share of the goals. There we are.
I'm sick to the back teeth there.
Okay. Any more?
No, it's tailing off now, isn't it?
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow, of course. Get involved there. Luke Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
And thank you, listeners.
Get slapped.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.